So this morning's gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke. Before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in our bulletins? Open our hearts and our minds so that we can understand the fullness of your word. Fill us with the light of the Holy Spirit, and bless the servant you have chosen to share the word proclaimed today. In the name of Christ, the word revealed. Amen. The gospel lesson is found on page 1613 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. He had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted. Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be to God indeed. Two phrases stand out in this story of Mary and Martha this morning. Many things and one thing. So I'm going to take the liberty this morning to assume that you all know this story relatively well, right? We've talked about it in previous years and certainly talked about it and intimated it within different Bible studies. Martha's distracted, right, by the many tasks in the house. I mean, you know, after all, she's hosting a dinner. She's got guests coming over in her home, and that entails food preparation and tending to the desk, the guests, and making sure that the drinks are ordered or offered and filled, right, and even perhaps cleaning up, tidying up a little bit, even when no one's looking. And it's common hospitality, right? Or as we would say, it's Southern hospitality, right? I mean, her sister doesn't participate in any of the tasks at hand. Instead, she sits at Jesus' feet. Another way that she's saying she listened to his teaching, seeking to just soak in that wisdom, right, that he offered, and taking advantage of the proximity and the knowledge of this incredibly and remarkable person. And Martha complains to Jesus about this arrangement. And Jesus, what does he do? He chides her, right? And commends Mary. And the moral of the story resounds for all the ages. The moral of the story is this: focus on Jesus. Ignore the rest. But is the story really that simple? Is it really that clear cut and that obvious? Well, perhaps, right? We've heard it in other gospel lessons. The plain reading might well be just that that ambiguous. Focus on Jesus. Don't fret about life's endless distractions. And that's not a bad word for those of us that are living in this 21st century in a place where we're just awash with all the distractions of so many tasks, so many things going on, so many clicks, so many pings, so many rings, right? And the question becomes, how do we manage to sit at Jesus' feet? How do we manage to sit at Jesus' feet and listen and focus on the Word without getting distracted or trying to convince ourselves that we can multitask and learn and listen and focus? I mean, really, the question becomes, can you all remember a time when you were attending to just one thing? Yeah. Yeah. That's hard. Even when studies reveal the ineffectiveness of multitasking, we can't help ourselves but to have multiple things going on at one time. So if we get no further than the plain reading of this Lucan text this week, we will no doubt do some good. However, what if we go a little bit deeper? Right? If we can agree that, yes, we should set aside our many tasks and our distractions and focus on Jesus and his teaching, where might we go next with this story? What are we so distracted by? Where is our focus? Are we distracted perhaps by greed? Distracted by the lure of wealth and the earthly perks that go along with it? Maybe. I mean, we have to acknowledge that. During the time of this being written, God's people had lost focus and failed to follow the one needful thing, God's commandments. And now their distraction is going to cost them the abundant life God so longs to give them and the poor and the needy as well. The time of distraction, of ignoring God's word, will soon come to an end, and even when they yearn to hear it, perhaps sitting at the feet of God, listening and learning, they will be unable to do so. A lack of focus can be extremely costly. But here's the hope. We need to be reminded that God's wrath does not endure forever. We are reminded through the gospel lesson today that the estrangement from God and others is replaced with the reconciliation through Christ, who holds all things together. All things. Gentiles are engrafted. Doers of evil deeds, repentant and forgiven, now do the will of the Lord. Even those utterly distracted by the worst of idols or the most frivolous of tasks can become attentive to the Word of God within them and all around them. Sometimes it's only after the catastrophic absence of the one who most longs to be in relationship with them. Sometimes it's after a harrowing life experience. Sometimes it's through an encounter with an undeniable glory, beauty, and truth of God that they find themselves now listening, eager to learn, with priorities reordered. This Sunday's gospel text calls us to attention, kind of checks us up. It summons us to an awareness and reminds us to take care of what truly matters, lest we get distracted and ultimately consumed by the many lesser gods beckoning us to follow. This story from Luke, while jettisoning tasks in order to tend to Jesus, in order to sit at the feet of Jesus, is also a lesson about right worship. Because where we focus, how we spend our time, what we expend our energy doing, all reveal who and what we truly worship. If we dig a little deeper beyond holding up Mary and scolding Martha, we discover ourselves in them both. Right? We all got a little bit of Mary and Martha in us. We see our own tendency to major in the minors, to neglect to relish the people right in front of us, the very people that if we just tend to them, will be the voice of God. They will reveal Christ to us. If we dig a little deeper, sitting with the words and reflecting on the text, we sense our deep hunger for so much more than food on the table, no matter how well prepared or tasty it may be. We understand in depth of our being that we need Jesus, the very bread of life. And grace upon grace, he's here. He's sitting next to us this morning. He's in our homes, in our workplaces. He's riding around in our cars with us. Grace upon grace, he's there in our homes, eager to be with us, and no time limit. No cell phone. No distractions. God asks us, what is right in front of you? Who do you neglect when you don't focus on our God? Jesus gently reminds us, like Martha, that much of what commands our time and our attention and our energy and our angst doesn't really require or deserve it. We're encouraged to this. No less than those early Christians to rest in Christ. Be who we are and live the call of reconciliation and the new ways of behaving that come with it. In other words, worship God alone and the rest will follow. Those oh so many distractions will lose their power. The temptation to resent will be lessened, whether it's our siblings or our neighbor or the person sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you in your pew or in your committee meeting or at your office or at the stoplight. The propensity to neglect the needy and exploit the poor will give way to seeing in them the very face of Christ. Because we've sat at his feet, sat there attentively, and after all that time together, we can't help but begin to recognize him. Because our focus is on him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.